We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke.
I get along without you very well. Of course I do. Except when soft.
The distinctive voice you're hearing belongs to Grammy-nominated Broadway performer Cheyenne Jackson. You might also recognize him from his film and his television work, including roles on Glee and 30 Rock.
This weekend, Jackson will be in Milwaukee to perform The Music of the Mad Men Era at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts.
Ahead of that concert, contributing producer Lucian Jung met up with him at a bustling cafe to talk about his career and the inspiration for Saturday night's performance.
I guess a couple of years ago, I was looking to create a new show that kind of encompassed the stuff that I've always loved, and that is this era. And, you know, Mad Men was such a big TV show, and it was kind of like a wonderful, you know, that gives us a big world to play in.
So much was happening in American music during that period. I mean, you could be performing anything from Sondheim to the Beatles to Motown. Which songs did you decide to perform?
I mean, you know, there's Louis Armstrong, there's Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald. Oh, I do Feeling Good, and I do a Sam Cooke song. And then I wanted to incorporate something for my parents, because I grew up very, very poor, and we had no running water, and we had an outhouse. But music was always the thing that just was the driving force in our house, and it was all about Joni Mitchell and Joan Baez and Bob Dylan. And so there's a Joni Mitchell song that Diana Krall did an arrangement of, so I'll be doing that as well. The song choices are very abstract, but all together, it makes a great and cohesive evening.
I met a woman, she had a mouth like yours. She knew your life. She knew your devils and your deeds. And she said, go to him, stay with him if you can. But be prepared to bleed.
You know, my shows are very, very personal. I don't get a lot out of just getting up there and doing. In this show, I sang this song. And in 1955, that's not interesting to me. But what is interesting is sharing my life experiences and things that I've learned in the last few years. In the last few years, I got sober. I moved across the country. I was divorced. I got remarried. Just so many amazing things have happened. And so it's really informed how I sing and really what I sing.
How do you relate to these songs differently than when you were starting out as a performer?
I mean, you, with life experience and with age and heartbreak and triumphs and everything that we go through in life, it just makes things different. I mean, I think of, again, I don't know why it's all going back to Joni Mitchell, but her Both Sides Now, that song from the Blue Album, when initially she performed it and wrote it, I mean, it was just this, you know, first of all, her voice was 2 octaves higher, but it was, you know, floaty and optimistic and just anything is possible. And now when she performs it, she's looked at love and life from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow, I mean, it's a completely new song, but it takes on even more passion and even more heartbreak because it's the same person singing it 30 years later.
These songs are classic, the songs that you're choosing to perform, and they've been performed and recorded by many artists. How do you go about making them your own?
It took a while. It took a while to learn how to make songs my own. I didn't have the confidence to have my own style. I just wanted to sing them really well, and I just wanted to look good while I was doing it. And I was really kind of doing it backwards. I was doing it from the outside in. And then, like I said, everything happens with age and with just maturity and experience. You learn how to really dig into the song and have the life of the song flourish. And I used to not tell the story in a song when I first started out. I used to just, you know, sing the song well, and I would make sure I hit the right musical crescendos and I would hit the right, you know, all of that. But I think what the turning point for me was, I saw a masterclass of Barbara Cook masterclass, and I was in the very, very back row, and this was at a concert hall. She was so far away that literally she was just a speck. However, I could hear and I could feel every word that she was saying, even though I couldn't see her face or see her hands or see her body. And I just realized that was because she was living those words and she was telling the story as one should. And I just thought, I just need to learn how to do that.
So as an artist, are you trying to do something different now than you had tried to do in the past?
The only thing different I'm trying to do now is just be truthful. The truth is sexy to me. The truth is real and it's interesting. And I don't have any reason to not be truthful anymore. I think a lot of it has to do with my being sober for the last couple years now, and that informs every aspect of my art. So I'm interested in that. And if you do that, if you're truthful on stage, you can't be wrong. There's no wrong. And that is very freeing.
I was a stranger in the city, out of town were the people I knew. I had that feeling of self-pity. What to do? What to do? What to do? The outlook was decidedly blue. But as I walked through the foggy streets alone, it turned out to be the luckiest day I've known.
Well, and what will be the mood of the show?
The mood of the show. It's a fun, fun show. It's a good set list. Songs that you know that maybe you haven't heard in a while. You're like, oh, I love that one.
And it had me down. I view the morning with alarm. The British Museum had lost its charm.
Performing live, there's nothing like it. I do a lot of film and a lot of television now, and those definitely have their perks. But performing live, whatever happens in the room that night is what happens in the room that night. It's magic. If something goes wrong, which something always does, if somebody, you know, somebody's cell phone goes off, or some lady spills her drink, or whatever it is, or someone smashes something like they just did just now, those are the things that make life life. And I love the live aspect of it, that anything goes, that there's no script, that there are no rules. The only rule is to just keep moving forward, and it's a shared experience with the audience. It's thrilling.
Many fans were introduced to you through your film and television work, including your roles on Glee and 30 Rock. When people are unfamiliar with your work as a celebrated Broadway performer, does that frustrate you?
No. I mean, occasionally someone will say, like, so wait, what have you done? So wait, you did something, have you ever been to New York? If my mom's with me, she'll say, he's a Broadway star. But no, I'm happy that people even know who I am, and I'm happy that people buy tickets to see me. You know, sometimes I'll perform at a performing arts center in somewhere in the United States, and I know that maybe a third of the audience has no idea who I am. I was on the subscription sheet, and they thought, oh, I'll go see who this person is. And then it's fun because then we get to know each other throughout the evening. But no, I think it's any time that anybody, you know, likes me or knows who I am, it's lovely and it's flattering.
And how did it feel to be nominated for a Grammy?
Oh my gosh, unbelievable. Amazing. Forever and ever I can say I was nominated for a Grammy. It's kind of unreal, really.
What kind of a kid were you when you were growing up in Idaho? And did you ever dream that this would be your life and that you would be doing what you love?
I knew that I would do something in the arts, just because I, you know, like I said, we grew up very, very poor, and the only thing that we would do is just, we would play out in the woods for hours and hours, and we would role play. My brother was Indiana Jones, and my best friend Nathan was Kirk from Star Trek, and then I was always Wonder Woman. And, you know, I just knew that my imagination and my creating characters and singing with the Broadway soundtracks of, like, Annie and all of that, I just knew that that would be... I knew that that's where my heart was. I didn't know how that was going to manifest, but yeah, I definitely knew something was going to happen. It took me a while. I didn't move to New York till I was 27, but I always knew.
Miss the Saturday dance. they crowded the floor. I couldn't bear it without you. I don't get around much.
Actor and singer Cheyenne Jackson will perform the music of the Mad Men era this Saturday night at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts in Brookfield. He spoke with Lake Effect contributor Lucian Young.
I got as far as the door. Well, they'd have asked me about you. I don't get around much. Darling, I guess my mind's more at ease, but nevertheless, why stir up memories? I've been invited. Might have gone, but what for? It's awfully different without.